Let's talk Serie B team of the season. Dan, Emmett, David here in the studio in London. And we're going to lay some ground rules first. But so many stars this season, so many good performers. Our formation is going to be 3-4-3 or a 3-4-2-1, kind of like, you know, a couple of attacking midfielders behind the striker. So many good attackers in Serie B this season. The Italian second division. If you're new to it, stick with us because we're going to go through some of the best performers in the league. Let's go in goals first, of course. The best goalkeeper. We'll name who we think it is, but first, a couple of contenders. I'm going to go with Cremonese, this shirt I'm wearing. It's match worn, by the way. Cremonese just winning the Serie B final. Fulignati, what a season for him. And what a Serie B final series as well, because in that first leg, he was able to keep a clean sheet. Second leg, did concede two very late goals, but still, Cremonese 3-0 up at the time. And Fulignati, for me, is a contender here.
Yeah, if he doesn't make that save off Aurelio at the end of the first half, maybe the game turns and Spezia go on and win the game or go on and get a draw and get promoted. So it's definitely a strong contender. But as you said, there's plenty of strong contender. Gori, who was at the opposite end of the pitch himself, a strong contender. Spezia had the best defensive record in Serie B. I know that it was dropped for 11 games, but, you know, came back, made the position his own. And it was really good. You know, obviously, the fact that you can see three goals in the second leg of the playoffs final is disappointing, but you know, I don't think you could really blame him for any of those goals. You know, two of them were close-range finishes and another was just a superb bit of attacking play from De Luca.
Yeah. Anyone else you're thinking besides Gori and Fulignati? Any other names? I think Marco Bleve from Carrarese. He had the highest save percentage in the league at over 81%.
Absolutely.
Emmett?
Pellicelli,
Catanzaro,
yeah, fan favorite. 13 clean sheets this season.
Yeah, leading the league in clean sheets.
Yeah, I mean, Catanzaro sadly didn't go up because obviously we're big fans of Catanzaro.
Playoffs, come on, that's epic.
But he had a really good season, so could be in with the shout.
And also, TM as well, Yubistabia was superb.
Yeah, he was good. Yeah. And also Cesena's goalkeeper that we interviewed, you haven't seen that, get on the app now, download it, and go and watch Dan's chat with Jonathan Klinsmann, son of Jürgen. Yeah. Everyone knows Jürgen, everyone knows Jonathan now because he pulled off that massive save again against Salernitana, stopped Alberto Cherry scoring at 0-0, vital win to get them into the playoffs as well, help them get there. So Catanzaro, Cesena recently in Serie C coming up and doing the business, getting to the playoffs and unfortunately got knocked out, but Cremonese are the team up. Is there a goalkeeper better than them, though?
I think there is, yes. I think probably Schemper at Pisa.
Yeah, Adrian Schemper.
Edges them all. It was superb this season. I mean, Pisa came up automatically along with Sassuolo. Their attacking play has got the plaudits, rightly so, because they were superb in the attacking end of the pitch. But, you know, second best defence in Serie B, and Schemper pulled off some outstanding saves. Particularly when they had a bit of a rocky patch where they couldn't score goals, he ensured that like they couldn't concede them either. So it would be my pick.
I have to agree, Emmett.
Yeah, it's hard to go wrong.
Schemper, yeah.
Played a crucial role in Pisa going up.
And we should mention, he did play a crucial role and played a crucial role the season before when Como went up. So two seasons in a row, he's gone up. We're going to see if he stays up.
A bit of a specialist there. A bit of a promotion specialist.
And Pisa doing very well. We've got another Pisa player coming. That's in the midfield. Let's go to the defence.
Yeah.
Now, everyone loves Bari's defence because they all love to concede goals, a draw specialist. If they're up, the defence will chime in to concede a goal so they get a 2-2 draw, something like that. But for me, Emil Medidorval was great on the left wing. We're picking three defenders, so we're going to stick him in. Who else should we put in there?
Antonio Caracciolo, again, Pisa.
Pisa, yeah.
Been very good. Industrious.
Yeah, big defender as well. And
I think you're going to look alike.
Finally getting up to Serie A because he missed out on Serie A promotion when they lost to Monza.
Yeah, he did. You got to look at, you know, I suppose, again, Spezia, the best defensive record in Serie B. Christo was probably the pick of the bunch in that back three between him and Wisniewski. Both of them were superb, but I'll say Christo probably edges it out a tiny bit. You know, like nice, tight little player, good in the air, good on the ball, which you have to be good on the ball, especially because they try and play it out from the back.
The Bulgarian defender. So we're going with Dorval, who's French nationality. We've got Caracciolo. representing the homeland, and then we have
Hristov.
We'll go Hristov over Wisniewski.
Yep.
Okay. Both were sensational in the playoffs series. Midfield, so many to choose from.
Too many to choose from.
Yeah.
We could go Claudio Gomez from Palermo. Ranocchia was great there as well.
Yeah.
For me, Lorenzo Amatucci, who has the most tackles in the whole league as a holding midfielder, was great, but we're not going to go with him.
No.
Also,
we should mention Pompetti and Catanzaro scored some absolute crackers.
Yeah, 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 yeah. Another central midfielder that could bend one in the corner. We were there at the Renzo Barbera to see that winner.
Yeah.
I think that you get so many good midfielders in Serie B. Sorry to this go off on a tangent, is because unlike Serie A, there isn't just one formation that tends to be prevalent across the league. Because you get teams to play four in midfield, you get teams to play three in midfield, you get teams to have like five. And I think that you get different counter midfielders who tend to be, you know, you get sort of your creative number 10s, but you also get like your no-nonsense players like, you know.
The hitmen.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. The Roy Keynes of Serie B.
Yeah, or the Gennaro. Yeah, I was thinking of Gattuso, but yeah, the Roy Keynes. Gattuso as well.
Because I think that's the thing. It's in Serie A, you get a lot of, you know, 3-5-2 is prevalent. I don't think that's the case in Serie B. You get a lot more variation of systems. And therefore, it leads itself to you get different types of midfielders.
Yeah.
One that I loved was Antonio Palumbo at Modena, because if you look at the stats,
he was very good.
Up there for creating goals, just putting the through balls through, just controlling the tempo of the play. Everyone loves that kind of player. But for me, Yali Van de Putte at Cremonese again, he was absolutely crucial and the most assists in the league with Berardi. So.
Yeah.
For me, he's got to be in the team.
It's got to be. I mean, he was, again, he's the sort of player who you don't really notice, which I think is always a great compliment to play a midfielder, because he just keeps the engine going, you know, he keeps the team ticking. And, you know, we were in La Spezia on Sunday for the second leg, weren't we? And the way he sort of controls the tempo of the game, you know, when Cremonese were under pressure, they were always looking to him to sort of like, you know, pick the pass that could relieve the pressure on them and get the likes of Vasquez and De Luca into the game. And he's got the ability of, like, he's always got like an extra split seconds on the ball, which I think in a league like Serie B is, I mean, it's crucial in any league, but particularly in a league in Serie B where it's a frantic pace compared to Serie A.
There's a lot of chaos.
Yeah.
You need someone just to calm it down.
Exactly.
Control things around you.
Another player, if we go to Salvatore Burai at Mantova, 2,300 or more touches.
Yeah.
And he's right up there in the top five for that in Serie B this season.
Yeah.
Another midfielder up there was Ahmed Ben Ali at Bari. But again, I think we'd have to mention probably Salvatore Esposito, who's second for that 2,500 touches.
It was, and again, he is the man who kept Spezia ticking in midfield. I know that, like, Adam Nagy from, you know, someone arrived from Pisa was great, was a perfect file for him, but Esposito was, maybe it's just the way Spezia play football, but I think you could have made a case for a few months or he could have been the player of the season. Obviously, again, I know that, like, strikers get all the plaudits because, you know, they score goals and everyone wants to see that.
Everyone loves a goal.
Yeah, but Esposito chipped in with 7, to be honest with you, which is a pretty decent tally considering that
he scored a couple of cracking free kicks, if memory serves.
Yeah.
And he did back in Serie A as well, because formerly of Serie A, Ilk, and he scored a brilliant one against Milan for that 2-0 win at the Pico a few seasons back. And
yeah, he's, I think we may soon, I mean, I know the Spezia haven't gone up, but we may soon. So I'm be seeing him in Serie A.
Very unlucky not to go up.
I think his problem this season is that he's been in the shadow of his brother.
Yeah.
Because as you say, goal scorers tend to get all the plaudits.
Yeah.
And if you're a midfielder, unless you're an extravagant midfielder, you're not going to get the same.
No, exactly. A tight little player. And he stands up for himself as well. He's not the sort of, I'm not saying that his aggression is the main facet of his game, but it's not the player that you mess about with.
If I told you a stat, second in the league for tackles made and top in the league for blocks, would you be thinking of Christian Pierobon?
I would indeed.
Yeah.
He ever stabbed his own midfield dynamo.
Yeah. And he'd be that holding midfielder that could sit next to Esposito as well, two pivots if they needed to. And yeah, he's been immense. And again, US Derby getting to the playoffs.
Yeah.
Another underdog that got there along with the Catanzaros and Cesena. It's so brilliant to see. And yeah. That's the beauty of Serie B, isn't it? Because you can come up and Sud Tirol were there, you know, at one point last season. We saw even Samp last season be able to come from the bottom six or seven teams and get into the playoffs, and three or four wins in a row can get you there. We saw Cittadella this year, mid-table, yeah. Bottom in December, back into the mid-table, back to the bottom, and that is
see, the likes of Pierre, I think they're interesting because when you look at Juve Stabia, they play an attritional style of football, which, you know,
it's to their strengths.
You expect them to as you said, to play to their strengths because a tiny budget, just come up from Serie C. But it's difficult to play attritional football for 38 weeks, but they can do it because the last of Pierre Blanc, like, just never stop running in midfield.
Yeah.
And again, they've got, as you said, you know, whether it's winning tackles, whether it's like just being positionally aware of where the ball is going to go so they can intercept it. And it goes back to what Emma was saying about the different styles of football that you get in Serie B, you know.
Yeah, and again, we're going with four across the midfield, but it doesn't necessarily have to be a left and right winger. Course, yeah. Otherwise, we'd probably go with the few good contenders. One from Juve Stabia was Floriano Mussolini as well, was quite good. Even in the playoffs, he was important. Also, we could look even at, we should look at Matteo Tramoni. He should be in the team.
He should be. Pisa's best player this season.
And he used to operate in the left. Now he's more central. 13 goals this season.
Yeah, and they badly missed him when he wasn't available.
Yeah, they were a different team without him.
They did. Those 2 weeks were sort of like you felt like their promotion train was coming off the track.
And it was a big win against Sassuolo. He scored a brace in that game.
Yeah, we watched them in action against Modena, and Tramoni was in there, and they looked like a team completely bereft of any ideas, any rhythm. Again, he's the sort of player who, you know, when things aren't particularly going their way, they turn to him and he can pick a pass or, you know, beat a man, and you get the extra sort of, like, the momentum changes just by virtue of him being on the pitch. And it's a luxury player in the sense, or rather, it's a luxury to have him in the team for Pisa. They look a lot more pedestrian without him. I'm looking forward to seeing him in Serie A, actually. A very exciting prospect.
Yeah, he has played a few Serie A matches, a few at Cagliari back in 2020-21 when he left Ajaccio, which is his... where he's born in Ajaccio's in Corsica, I believe.
Yes,
former Ligue 1 or Ligue 2 team. Yeah. But so he started there, went to Cagliari, has ended up in Serie B since, Brescia and Pisa now for, what's that, three seasons. He was part of Pisa's push against Monza in that lost playoff. And now he's there. This is his best season ever. He did get 8 goals at Brescia a few years back, 5-3 in the lead up to this one at 13. So he's got to be in the team.
Well, you do wonder also how many of these players, especially, you know, in the three promoted teams, how many of them will actually remain in Serie A, or will they be sold back down to Serie B clubs, you know, if they're in an attempt to stay up?
Some of them get a go in Serie A, and if they don't perform, they go back in.
Yeah, I mean, you see that across the leagues. Is it better to be a big fish in a relatively small pond?
A Max Coda style?
Well, yeah, but you get that across, you know, you get that, you know, if you
even
you look, you know, it's always like Cameron Jerome in England is the perfect example, isn't he? Like, he can be not a world beater, but he can be the best, one of the best players in the Championship, or just being one of the players in the Premier League.
Yeah.
And it's also completely different because, you know, if you're Pisa, for example, you know, you're always on the front foot in Serie B, or you were this season trying to come up. Next season, you're going to probably be playing a completely different style of football, because the manager might be different, and obviously you're not going to be seeing as much of the ball as you did in Serie B this season. So it's very difficult, I think. I think a lot of people underestimate the challenges actually in going from like winning almost every game to move into a completely different style of football. Different expectations, different opponents, obviously. But that said, I think that Lazio Tramoni could definitely do a job in Serie A.
Yeah. Well, we'll see some of the players that are going up. Cremonese's players, Sassuolo's and Pisa's, we'll see at the end of this 11 who's going up and who's staying.
Yeah.
Some of the, we'll name the midfield there. Yeah. We've got four. It was Van de Putta. We're going Salvatore Esposito.
Yeah.
We're going Matteo Tramoni.
Yeah.
And one more was Pierre Bon. Okay, so a few unlucky midfielders that missed out. I think Palumbo was worth a shout, what he did at Modena. But
I think we only went to see Modena a couple of times this season, but Palumbo was exceptional.
The ball magnet.
Yeah. It was excellent. Yeah,
he reminded me a kind of a little bit of Alessandro Diamante, left-footed, has like a bandage on his arm, which Diamante had, and he's all left. You know, he's silky, dropped between the lines, brilliant at through balls, just technically outstanding.
Yeah, Miramante, and this is probably one for the viewers who are probably more in our age category. It reminds me.
What are you trying to say? You're trying to say we're old?
So you're talking about Lamine Yamal era, right?
I'm not talking about, okay. It's more for the people who don't wear a Lamine Yamal kit right now.
Okay,
okay.
It reminds me of, you know, when you used to play Pro Evo and you always had a player in, like when you were doing the Master League, there was a player who was an excellent midfielder but wasn't the quickest.
Yeah.
But it was able to, like, so somehow, like, wriggle past defenders and pick a through ball. That's exactly what it reminds me of whenever I watch him. You know, it's sort of like you can, like, all down the R2 button, but he's still going to sprint.
Yeah,
but as soon as you actually have to pick a pass, he's the man you want on that.
Yeah.
In today's football, probably Fabian Ruiz.
Yeah.
Napoli.
Yeah. Actually, yeah. That's a good great comparison. Yeah.
But a Palumbo is kind of a Serie B level.
Yeah.
It's like
a Serie B Fabian Ruiz.
It's just like your Aldi Fabian Ruiz.
He could do a job in Serie A, I think, Antonio Palumbo. Let's move on to strikers because there's so many good attackers as well.
Yeah. Like what a season it's been for strikers in Serie B.
So many. Yeah. So many good attackers. Domenico Berardi, for me, probably won't make the team.
No.
But when you look at the stats, 26 goal-creating actions. He leads the league for that. Salvatore Esposito just behind him, who's in our midfield.
Yeah.
Berardi, for me, everyone knows what he does. It's the tira gira, the turn and shoot. He comes in, gets it on the left, goes for goal in one way or the other, has lost half a yard of pace, and he's come back from injury this year. It's going to be brilliant to see what he can do for Sassuolo in Serie A. He's going to lead them, and they've got stars across the Sassuolo side. And for me, it's his teammate that makes the 11, which is Armand Lariente.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
So what does he get, 17 goals, 18 goals?
18,
He won the Pablito, didn't he?
He did, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It wins the Paolo Rossi Award, if you don't know what that is. So, yeah, he's got to be in the 11.
Yeah,
he does, 100%.
Yeah. Other strikers, so we put him on the left. It doesn't really matter. We're not going for positional here, but it's just the three best attackers in the league. He has to be in there. Now, Christian Spendi started the season at Cesena in brilliant form and then got one goal in the second half of the season. He was injured as well. His brother, Steven, at Carrarese did okay. He got 3-4 goals, I believe.
Yeah, twins. I mean, I think if you're looking at like strikers who should make the team but probably will just miss out, you got to look at Andrea Durante. His first season was superb. Yeah. He was 16 goals. 17
excellent
goals.
Season.
Ho visto Durante, as they sang when we were seeing him against
indeed,
Palermo.
Indeed, but what a player he's been. He was superb. Like, I think of his first 7 goals, 6 of them were headers or some ridiculous figures like that. Juve Stabia's first 15 goals this season, 14 of them came from set pieces, which is, I mean, I read this stat over and over again this season. I just can't get my head around it, how good you must be at set pieces. You know, Arsenal have a set piece coach that has been turned into a celebrity.
Yeah.
Juve Stabia, set piece coach, if they have one, should demand a pay rise. Maybe he'll get a mural outside the Menti, like the Nicolas Jobrez went outside the Emirates.
You guys went there the other week to see them play Cremonese as well, wasn't it?
Yeah, Palermo.
Palermo, yes.
Yeah. And they were much the better team than Palermo.
Yeah. They were much, much better. But what we're talking about strikers and Palermo.
Well, I just should mention, Adorante got 2 goals in the playoffs as well.
Yeah.
So also De Luca for Cremonese got 2.
Yeah.
So, but go on, next point.
Yeah, no, we're talking about Palermo and strikers. I think Brunori and Poyampaolo deserve a mention. Yeah. The fact that Brunori he scored 17 goals last season and the season before, the fact that he was left on the bench for the first half of the season goes some way towards explaining why Palermo finished where they did. Because I can't get my head around it. You know, he's one of the best strikers in Serie B. His link could play superb. He knows where the goal is. He's able to like play off another striker as well as he did with Poyampaolo. And you do wonder where they could have finished if they started him. And he's only, you know, he was the club captain last season as well and got benched for no real reason. Then when he came back into the team in January, he started scoring for fun.
Yeah.
And was he benched against Juve Stabia when we went?
No, he played.
They
were bad. And Poyampaolo scored 9 in his first 9 since moving down from Venezia, but he's, yeah. um, then he, he hasn't scored another goal since. And
he still scored more than Max Cota, who was the Serie B specialist.
He's Mr. Serie B.
The first side he won't get promoted with for a while at Samp.
Never mind promotion. And he'd be happy if he can actually stay in Serie B.
I doubt he'd be playing Serie G if they go down, if they get relegated two times this season.
Yeah.
But Vasquez, which is his jersey, match worn, number 20 on the back here with his name. So he got 9, so did Brunori, so did Poyampolo. Mulettieri at Sassuolo needs a mention. Palumbo, we've already spoken about in Modena's midfield, 9 goals and 10 assists. Incredible.
So then Pierini deserves a mention as well.
Pierini, Mancuso, both with 10 goals each. Pierini, the super sub at Sassuolo. We've got Mancuso, who scored 10 at Mantova. Then it's Spendi at Cesena at 11. Tramoni, 13 goals at Pisa and 3 assists. Adorante, 15 goals, 2 assists at Juve Stabia. And then, of course, if we go up to first from here, that's Adorante in fourth, Lariente in first, 18 goals, 5 assists. But the two others that are second and third need to go in this lineup. And let's go to the first one. Let's talk about the shirt that Dan's wearing there. The man himself.
The one and only.
Lord Zar.
San Pietro.
Yeah, they love him down in Catanzaro. Pietro Iemmello. If you don't know who he is, he's a... Is he a journeyman? I think he is.
Oh, he is a journeyman. Yeah, absolutely.
But he's back at his hometown club. He's a club captain.
He's a cult hero.
Talisman.
Absolute cult hero he's been. It's a throwback. I love watching him because it's a throwback to the good old days. It's like, I mean, we should probably explain.
He's 33.
Anyone who's not a Serie B aficionado, a Serie B fan, you know, Iemmello is not like a modern striker insofar that he's, you know, he's not particularly athletic. He doesn't...
he's tall. He's 186 centimeters.
Deft touches.
He's athletic enough.
No, he's not rapid. Like, he doesn't have the burst of pace that an Usman Dembele or even a Marcus Thuram.
Yeah, he's no Hoyland or Haaland. Yeah,
he's in that Doyle Hubner, Igor Pratt.
Yeah, exactly.
Kind of mold, old school striker.
He's been through, we'll say, all the top professional divisions. Serie C, Serie B, Serie A. He scored goals in each of them.
Yeah,
he scored 30 goals. 3 seasons ago to get Catanzaro up to Serie B. And now they're in the playoffs as well this season. 2 seasons at 17 goals in a row, 30 the year before. He scored 19 one season at Perugia, which was, I guess, his best ever in Serie B. 29 goals at Foggia in, what were we looking at here, 2016. But he did score in Serie A for Benevento, and one of those goals was against AC Milan.
Of course,
it was a winner.
Of course,
it was a winner in that game. Benevento did the job on AC Milan a couple of times, didn't they?
Yeah.
I mean, it's hard to find a team that hasn't done a job against AC Milan.
Modern day Milan is
Inter Milan, actually, probably haven't done the job on Goldberg.
So I think Iemmello definitely needs to go in there. Yeah. 17 goals this season, played every single game as well.
Yeah. Well, that's what I was going to say. That, you know, as the Americans say, you know, the best ability is availability, and it certainly has it.
Yeah. I mean, not every single game, but over the course of the season, 38, which for me is every single game, but 2 of those were in the playoffs.
Yeah.
And we're looking at one hat-trick there against Sampdoria.
Yeah.
3-3 draw.
And
that was a looping bomb from way out. So you got a brace against Sud Tirol and a 3-0 home win. And then all the other games were just a goal.
Yeah.
Well, on each game, he was ever present.
Which is what you want from a striker. You don't want them scoring in gloat. You want them scoring regularly.
Consistency is the key.
Yeah.
So for us, big Pietro is there. Lariente to the left. And I guess, well, Lariente may be behind Iemmello. And the other striker played for Spezia, scored a goal in the Serie B final. Francesco Pio Esposito.
Yeah.
He's going to be a superstar of the future.
It will be.
It'll be interesting to see what Inter do with him. Because obviously he's on loan at Spezia. And considering what Inter have been through the last...
Yeah, they own him.
It'll be interesting to see whether they take him back or he goes to Spezia permanently.
Didn't do much with his older brother.
Yeah.
There's Salvatore and Sebastiano.
Yeah, 3 Esposito brothers.
17 goals, 2 assists for Pio Esposito. I remember seeing him first when he made the international debut for the under-20s at the FIFA World Cup, and it was quite good. And he was only 17 at the time. So he's going to be massive for Piers Bosito, I guess, the way that turn, the way he took the ball. He scored the goal when, especially with 3-0 down, he scored the goal for 3-1. And they got a goal 60 seconds later to make it 3-2. Place lit up. If you haven't seen it, go and check our socials and go and watch the highlights on DCTV app or the full match replay. Second leg of the Serie B final, that is. But yeah, is he better than Yemelo?
I think he is insofar that he's, obviously, football has changed since when, you know, he's 14 years younger than Yemelo, so he's been brought up with a different kind of of football, different sort of like tactical training, if you like. And I think he's a lot better at getting his teammates into the play. Like, Yemelo is out and out finisher.
Yeah, he's about goals. Yamelo's about goals.
Yeah, Yamelo's about goals.
More of an all-rounder.
Yeah, exactly. And you can see him, like, you know, you could see him throughout the season sort of like dropping a bit deeper, you know, getting his teammates into it.
Well, 19 goals, including the playoffs for Piers Bosito.
Yeah, I mean, we were saying on Sunday, weren't we, about where he's going to go back to Inter. But I do think
you'd want to hang on to him, especially when they got Correa, Arnautovic and Taremi. Come on.
But I think it's also from his perspective.
Exactly.
Is he actually going to get any game time at Inter?
Because are you going to go Inter Milan and sit on the bench?
Yeah, with Marcus Thuram and Lautaro. It's like...
Depends on who the next coach is, because if Simone Inzaghi leaves, he might not. I doubt he will, but still, sure. If he did leave...
I mean, I suppose you couldn't. If you were like a sort of like a mid-table club in Serie A, you'd be knocking on Inter's door for a season-long loan, at least.
Someone like Torino or Genoa, it's like, why not take a punt on him?
Or even one of the newly promoted clubs, whether it's Pisa.
Yeah.
Pisa could use him, yeah. Because Lind hasn't been the goal-scoring machine that they thought that they were going to get, but Piers Bosito could probably do a job.
But, you know, at the same time, he's only 19, so I think, you know, you could realistically... see him spend another season in Serie B, and
I think it's crucial at this point in his development that he plays.
He can't go
to Serie A club and just warm the bench.
Yeah,
no. That's
I mean, look, experience is experience. You want to get immersed in that, but I think he's big enough. If he did go to a Serie A club, I could see Spalletti calling him up within the first season.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. Experience. The likes of like with Genoa or, you know, Parma.
Yeah, Udinese, Lorenzo Luca goes.
Yeah, it'd be ideal for him. Because the one thing about him staying in Serie B is, I think it'd be great for his development, but he will no longer have the novelty factor that had this season.
True, it'll be... Breakout season.
Yeah, it'd be double-teamed every time.
I'll tell you what I'd love to see, Pio Esposito and Yemelo up forward together. That's mid-table in Serie A they could get them to. Some coaches out there pick my brain about that one.
That's a top four.
Yeah, top four. He'd be on the front
partnership.
Page.
I mean, look, if the option is Yemelo and Esposito on the bench or Taremi and Correa, I know which one.
Yeah. there's a few games I've been to. I'm like, if only they had Yemelo coming off the bench to put a goal away. Or Pio Esposito has proven that he's class and he should be in the hour
what later. This is like purely hypothetical, but what if a big Serie A club knocks on Inter's door for Esposito, like Elias, for example, maybe not Napoli, but Elias of Juventus, throw 30 million quid into for like if Esposito.
Wasn't he linked with Manchester United at one point a few months back?
Who is linked with Manchester United?
Yeah, true, yeah. I think I was as well.
No, but Liam Delap, who is a player who reminds me a lot of, has just gone to Chelsea from Ipswich for 30 million quid. If you were Inter and someone comes in and says, look, we're going to give you 30 million, for a player at the minute is mostly potential because we've not seen him in Serie A.
Yeah.
Do you let him go or do you rather have him and just stick him on the bench?
Yeah, there's also Camarda, the Milan teenage starlet, we'll call him. Yeah. Scored a couple of goals last week against Portugal. Yeah. But there is a future there for Italian strikers, I believe. Hopefully they don't just fizzle out to become like
if you're Inter and you're not prepared, I'm not saying that they are not, by the way, I'm just saying if, for sake of argument, they were not prepared to give him a chance at Inter Milan, do you take the money and sell him to someone else? Because you can then, you know, Inter need to strengthen this summer. That they're going to need a lot of...
They could strengthen just by simply putting him in the squad. And if I was an Inter supporter now, especially after being in Milan on the weekend during that nightmare for them, I mean, it was a good hate watch for Juventini, I bet, and Milanisti. Half of Milan was actually quite happy. The others was just like, what just happened to us? If you haven't seen that, go and check it on YouTube. There is the hope to heartbreak video, and I was there to capture all the imagery. So we're talking Pio Esposito coming into an Inter squad. If I was an Inter fan, I'd be like, blood some youth.
I agree. Yeah, yeah. I absolutely agree.
They need youth. Yeah. And that was evident on Saturday night. They need legs. Yeah.
And at the same time, though, when you look at their squad, Martin and St. Lautaro are not their oldest players, so they'll probably need to invest more in midfield and defence. So that's what I'm saying. If you don't think you'll need a spouse in the team and someone, because if you're Napoli or if you're Juventus, why not try and test their
get him all they can. Yeah. But one more season like this, and he's going to be a dead certainty that someone from maybe the Premier League or, don't want to say a Barcelona or a Real Madrid, but even a PSG you could see coming. They don't really have a proper striker now. They've got plenty of good attacking players, but sometimes you see Kvaratskhelia as the central attacking option. Next thing it's Barcola. Yeah. Next thing it's Dembélé, and they don't really have a central
striker. And at the same time, you know, I don't think you should be cashing in on new players, but you could say, well, maybe it doesn't have what it takes to make in Serie A. And I'm not saying that's what Inter are thinking. Should we cash in now because it's 30 million quid or 40 million quid for a player of his age? He said, it's a lot of money.
And I think, as you said earlier, Dan, he needs another season of this being this productive, because we've seen so many times over the years, strikers have one good season and then the goals dry up. Yeah. You know, they're one-hit wonders, one-season wonders. I think for Esposito, can he do it again? Maybe he stays at Spezia another year.
Yeah.
See if he's a year from now, he produces the same kind of numbers, and then maybe Inter could cash in, or they bring him back.
Well, I think what we could do is probably help Inter with selling him by doing a goal montage where they said he'd be official broadcaster. So DCTV, perhaps we'll put that on the app and get that out on our socials at some point.
Yeah.
Would he be, we've talked him up for a while now, is he the player of the season in Serie B for us, or is there someone else? Is it Llorente for what he did? I mean, I think even the likes of, I don't know if we, dug Domenico Morfeo up and put him on the left wing, he probably could have got three, four goals for this Sassuolo side.
So going back to the pro evil player I mentioned, like with no pace, but with the absolute superb pass, Morfeo will fit the mold perfectly.
Yeah, there you go. All right. So we're just getting there. Eventually our brains made up. Yeah, so is Llorente the player of the season he carved teams
up. He did. But
it was like watching a rugby winger just go all the way through.
Spezia finished 15th last season. To score 19 goals.
He's the difference.
In that team. Or to score 18 for Sassuolo.
Yeah.
I'll have to pick Esposito, I think.
Yeah. I think I agree with you.
Yeah. I would go either Iamelo or Esposito just for the fact that Llorente is playing in a very good team. Whereas Iamelo and Esposito are not necessarily dragging their teams towards the playoffs, but they don't have as much quality around them.
Yeah, they don't.
As Llorente and Sassuolo.
No, definitely.
And so the player of the season for us is Francesco Pia Esposito. Who's the coach of the season? There's a few good ones. Fabio Casetta, what he did at Catanzaro.
Yeah. Guido Pagliuca at Juve Stavia.
Yeah. It's Giovanni Strappa opposite to Cremonese.
He got sacked.
Grosso.
It was very significant because when managers win a trophy or get a team promoted, their first sort of, they automatically go into everything is rosy, everything is great. Strappa didn't do that on Sunday. In his press conference, he pulled no punches because he said, I came in to a team that was 12 points behind the automatic promotion places. When I was sacked at Montpellier, we were only 5 points away. And he implied that I'm not being sacked, we could have gone up directly. So he said, of all the promotions I've won, this is the one that pisses me off the most. Yeah. And I think there was a sharp intake of breath from all the journalists. You know, we were there and it was kind of like, oh, this is not the like the ebullient celebratory mood we were expecting. But I think he's right, to be honest. I mean,
yeah.
Well, he's the best sack coach of the season. That's what I'll give him.
Yeah.
He wins that award.
Oh, Cremonese were under so much pressure because obviously they fell the final third of last season.
Yeah.
And to come back and do it. So Strappa deserves a mention. Luca D'Angelo deserves a mention. Spezia was superb.
Yeah, he does.
He looked absolutely heartbroken, didn't he?
There's only one really that could be named, and that is Super Pippo.
Yeah. Has to be.
Filippo Inzaghi, for what he's done with Pisa this season, he came in, they were not very good.
No, finished fourth last season. Yeah. Negative goal difference.
Yeah. and look what he's done with him.
Can we say after Saturday that Pippo is now the better Inzaghi coach of the brothers?
Yeah.
Well, I think the Venezia and Milan fans may have
something to say, about
it.
But yeah, I think Pippo has been superb.
Yeah, he's been.
I mean, they have spent a bit of money. They did spend a bit of money in the summer, but I don't think the three of us sat here in August and said, "Yeah, Pisa is going to go up."
I don't think anybody did. And it's not just that they went up; it's the fact that they were the only team for 9 months of the season who actually keep patience as well.
Yeah,
the fact that they didn't end up winning the league says more about how good they all were than about their own shortcomings. They were brilliant.
Yeah, Pisa deserved it. Second best in every category. You look at goals conceded, goals scored, second best in each one.
Yeah,
64 goals.
And
a bit of people in that up forward.
I think we said it in April that we with Inzaghi is such a live wire act on the sideline. But I think it was so calm and like it just the sort of I'm not gonna call it zen because that's a cliche, but he looked a lot calmer off the pitch than you would have expected him to be, and I think that translated to his players.
Yeah.
Because there was the Pisa went through a rocky patch, and I think
it was March, April.
I think a lot of us thought, hang on a minute, yeah, they can score goals, they can keep goals out. Are they going to bottle it?
Yeah, especially when we went because they lost against Modena.
Yeah,
when it was like all they needed was a win to go up, and in the press conference, Pippo was like, no, it's all right, still have faith in the players.
Exactly. Yeah,
it'll come, and it did come.
Well, it's Super Pippo, the coach of the season, the manager. Pablito Award went to Lariente.
Yeah.
And we're going to put up our Serie B team of the season on screen for you. We're looking at in goal, Adrian Semper from Pisa. At the back, it is Dorval from Bari, Christoph from Spezia, Caracciolo from Pisa as well. So a second Pisa player there. Across the midfield, it's another Pisa icon, Matteo Tramoni. So that just reinforces what Inzaghi's done. Van de Putte from Cremonese, Piero Bon, Juve Stabia, and Salvatore Esposito from Spezia. Up forward, what a lineup that is. Lariente, Sassuolo, Yemello from Catanzaro, and Pio Esposito from Spezia. Some of these players are going to go up. Some of them will stay with us next season. Do join us for Serie B 2025-2026. Download the DC TV app now for iOS and Android. Thanks for sticking with us. Let us know if we missed any players and what your thoughts are in the comments. And we'll see you next time.